verses 19 to 27. If you could turn in your Bibles there. Thank you, Rod. It's heavy. Not used to the 42-ouncer. But we're in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. If you could just follow along as we read this. James writes, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no mirror who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." If you can join me in prayer, please. Father, help us this morning as you allow us to receive from you. And as we're going to look at this morning, just our responsibility that we have when we are confronted with your word. Realizing, God, that you accomplish great things when we receive your word. And that is your means, your instrument by which you provide for transforming our heart and soul. It is what you have given so that we can be transformed into the image of your Son. Your word is what we have so that we can know truth. Your word is what we have so that we can know you. Your word is what we have so that we can know how to live life. It is a precious gift. But not just a gift that we admire from afar. It is a gift that you want us to take in regularly so that it can feed our souls. God, I pray for your help and your blessing and your guidance this morning. That as you would allow me to bring forth your word, that song said, for your glory. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. As we've been over the past few times that been able to share God's word with you during our Sunday morning service, we've been going through the book of James. And as I mentioned before, James is a book that's very practical. And what he's trying to accomplish is to make faith real. How you can have a real faith walk with God. Not just something that is conceptual, not just something that is intellectual or mental, but something that is real, observable, something that is tangible. For you and for those around you to see the reality of knowing Christ in your life. You know, as Rod preached last week, you know, hopefully you didn't apply his message, or how to be a Pharisee, or how to be a legalist. I hope you didn't apply that this week. I hope you considered what he preached on, but it's like, okay, that's what I want to be. You know, it's easy for us to be legalists. It's easy for us to be Pharisees, where we just want to do the outward stuff and focus on the outward stuff, but nothing happening on the inside. But we're also prone to being very religious, and what we're going to talk about this morning. And when we talk about being religious, let's talk about just doing, again, just the outward, external. about living for God, but having no heart in it. Why are you here this morning? What brought you here? Is it just because externally this is what you do? Or is it because of what God has moved upon your heart to be here this morning? See, when we can get caught up living a religious Christian life, and, you know, back in the 70s, early 80s, you know, it was, oh, we're not bringing a religion, we're bringing a relationship. You know, that phrase was a lot back in the day when I was in college and when I first became a Christian. And, you know, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just share that because it got kind of hokey. And the students wonder if that's really a word. When I say that, it's a word. It's in Greek. But it just became just a cliche type thing. And yes, we want, it's not about just religious external duties about the Christian life. And we are talking about having a relationship with Christ. But by you having a relationship with Christ, it should transform the way you live outside and how it should show. But it's because what God is doing inside first that it comes out, rather than only observing what's outside and then making judgments about what's happening in their insides. You know, we can get caught up in doing that. We just talked about Galatians chapter 2 with the students in our youth ministry Sunday school about Paul defending the faith, defending the gospel, because he was saying that there was these false brethren who were coming in and wanting to preach that you need to know Christ the Savior, but also follow Jewish traditions. And when Paul went to Jerusalem to go before the council and to share with them the message that he was bringing, he brought with him Titus. Titus, who was a Greek, who became a Christian. And he brought forth Titus, and these false brothers, these Judean Christians, didn't care about Titus's heart. They just cared if he was circumcised. That's all they cared about. Well, if he's not circumcised, he can't really be a believer. They didn't care about the testimony of what God did in his heart. And we need to be careful about that. And we need to be patient with believers, just as God is patient with you and I. We are nowhere near where we should be in regards to how we should be reflecting the image of God. And God shows far more patience than we show to other people. But James, as he's writing here, he wants to confront the church about how to have and possess a pure and undefiled religious faith. A faith that isn't just about externals, but a faith that takes place because what's happening inside. And so as we go through this passage this morning, I want you to understand that is the focus of this text. Now, many of you probably know James 1:20. James 1:19, where it's be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And you've applied that in how you relate with other people. You know, it's good principles, but that's out of context of what James is talking about. This is not about relationships. This is about how to receive God's word and your responsibility to God's word. And so as we go through this passage this morning and how to possess a pure and undefiled religious faith, understand what James is giving to us is responsibilities that we need to understand and responsibilities that we have so that our faith, our relationship with Christ, our religion isn't something that isn't just external, but it's coming from what God is doing in the inside of our life. It's the transformation of our heart that comes out in how we live. And so James wants us to see that. You know, and you know, we have in this passage the word religion and religious, and it's not a common term used in the New Testament, but it's, you know, James uses it because he's describing a man who prides himself in the outward trappings of the faith, but who is not applying it to his heart. And so, is that you this morning? You know, are you someone who just bases your walk with God just because you come to church? You know, you may go to a Bible study. You read your Bible every once in a while. I'm a Christian. You know, those are things that Christians do, but the reason we do them is because what has God done in our heart? You know, the reason we come to church is I love to worship Christ, and I love being with others who worship Christ. That's why I come. and I need the encouragement from God's word, and I need the blessing and the encouragement and the fellowship of God's people. That's why I come. That's why in Hebrews says, don't forsake this. Why? Because I need it for my soul. I read God's word. Why? Because that's what Christians knew. No, I read it. Why? Because that's how God speaks into my life. That's how I want to know his truth. I want to know him. That's why I read his word. I go to Bible study. Why? Because that's what Christians do. No, because I need help in understanding certain passages of scripture so that I can know how to live my life and bring glory to him. Notice it's the desire of your heart comes out in how you live. It's not just because you do those things makes you a Christian. And so James, he's going to guide us in helping us how we can possess a pure and undefiled religion, a religious faith that is true, that is real, and it's not just external. And so the first thing we're going to look at is that a pure and undefiled religion requires the proper reception of God's word. It requires the proper reception of God's word, how you receive the word of God into your life. And James starts off bringing attention to knowing how important it is to receive God's word, because he starts off in verse 19. He says, know this, my beloved brothers. He's talking to believers. Even at the end of verse 18 of James chapter 1, we read this last time. He says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's saying, through God's word, he saved us. So know this. Know this, that he saved us through the word of truth. Brothers, you need to continue to be in the word of truth. You are saved by God's word, and you continue to live by God's word. We don't separate it. I got saved because I received God's word as the gospel. Now I don't need to read God's word at all. No. The word of truth is what saves us. The word of truth is what sustains us so that we can become more like Christ. That's why you need to give attention to God's word. You need it. And notice it says, know this, my beloved brethren, brothers. I was studying in New American Standard. So my beloved brothers, let every person, notice every believer, every Christian, this applies to you. No matter how old you may be, if there are young believers in this children's church, they are there, and their heart needs to be prepared in wanting to receive God's word. And for you here, even though you may have been saved 100 years, Chad, you still need to be ready to receive God's word. Just waking you up, brother. I'm not going to offend you like Rod did last week, so. But you need God's word. You need to be attentive to it. It's not something you could do without. And that's what James is saying. He says, know this. And that's a command. He's really saying, understand. You understand this, beloved brothers. Every one of you need to know this. And so he calls attention to the fact that we all need to receive God's word. And are you doing that? Because he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person, and that word be, before it says be quick to hear, it's really let every person must be in the Greek. It's a must, it's an urgency, there's a seriousness. There's no options. This is something you must be doing. Not something you should consider in doing. And it's in the present tense, meaning that you have to continually be doing this. I always must be doing what he's going to be pointing out to us. So it's not just a one-time thing. Continually, always, as a believer, James is calling us to have some habitual practices in our life so that the word of God can accomplish a work in our life. The effective functioning of the word in the daily life demands an active cooperation on your part. in order for the Word of God to do anything in your life, you have to cooperate with the Word of God by receiving it, taking it in, being exposed to it. It's hard to allow the Word of God to have any impact in your life when you're not reading the Word of God. There is, again, we've said this many times, there are no shortcuts in the Christian life. There's one way to God, and that is through Christ. There's one way to grow as a believer, and that is through the Word of God. You know, we recently finished up our whole study of Psalm 119, and just the psalmist just extolling just the importance, the value, and the treasure of God's Word. Why is it so important? Because this is what He's given to us so that we can know Him and so that we can know how to live for Him. And if we separate ourselves from this, then we are separating from what God has given to us so that we can grow, so that we can become like His Son. But how? How do we approach God's Word? Well, first, we must be, and He gives us these attitudes over the next couple of verses, these attitudes for receiving God's Word. And this first attitude is that you need to be quick to hear. Quick to hear. John MacArthur, he says, Jesus said in Luke 8:18, "So take care how you listen. For whoever has to him shall more has to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away." John MacArthur, giving his own testimony, says, "When I was a little boy, it was common for my teachers to send notes home informing my parents of my behavior." Now, you know when you were given a note by a teacher to be sent home, it's usually not a note saying your son was a wonderful son. He says, often the notes would say, "Johnny talks too much and doesn't listen." I would never call him Johnny now, but "Johnny talks too much and doesn't listen." It says, since, you know, they didn't have any clinical initials to attach to my condition like ADD or ADHD, and there was no Ritalin to sedate me, so they just said I was disobedient, and they disciplined me with the instruction and listening to the point that I chose to listen. And he says, frankly, good listeners make good company. Good listeners make good friends. Good listeners make good learners. Good learners make good teachers. Good listeners make good counselors. On the other hand, poor listeners who only want to hear themselves talk, even while forced to listen, are only planning what they're going to say as soon as you take a breath, are usually cheated out of the best relationships in life. He says, just from a human standpoint, learning how to listen is important. Do you listen to God when He speaks? Quick. That means that you're eager. You're ready. That's why you're here. When you open God's Word in the morning, that's why you're opening. I want to hear something. I'm ready to go. You know, many of you in your cars, constantly you have to have the noise of the radio going, right? And you just sort of, as soon as you don't even turn it off, probably your radios have never been turned off in years. You don't even know where the power button is. It's like, I don't know. It's just always, it turns off when I turn off the car. Because you just constantly have something going. And a lot of times, because of that, you're not listening anymore to the radio. It's just become noise. It's just that's there. So that's God's Word to you. Where it's just noise. You know, John MacArthur just celebrated 50 years at being at Grace Community Church. 50 years of pastoring that church. And there was a conference this week, and he was sharing that, you know, how terrible for the people who've been there for 45 years. Because that I have been the only one they've heard 98% of their Christian life. Has been me. And he goes, I he was joking. And they're like, well, why don't they go other places? They can't. They're members. They can't go anywhere else. But he was just saying, you know, he didn't want to become just a drone in the sense of a noise. Is God that to you? If God has become that to you, maybe you're here this morning, you're not listening at all. You're present. You're physically here. You're religiously here. But you're not quick to hear what God's word has to say. You could care less. You're here this morning just to say, okay, hope he's almost done. Okay, what's for lunch? Okay, what do I have to do after here? Your mind is somewhere, you're religiously, physically present, but you're not quick to hear what God has to say this morning. James is saying, if you want a faith that is real, if you want a faith that is pure, if you want a faith that's undefiled, you need to be someone that is quick to hear what God has to say to you and be listening and ready. The early church, they didn't have a Bible. And much of their teaching was done orally. In the sense, they didn't have anything to read in front of them. It was what someone was telling them. And they weren't able to go back and say, oh, let me look that up when I get home, because they didn't have a recording. They didn't have Facebook to, watch the live stream. What they got was what they got. And they needed to heed and to be ready to hear it at that moment, because if they didn't hear it at that moment, what? It was gone. So the early church Christians knew that when they came with a gathering of believers, they need to be people who are quick to hear, quick to listen, and we're focused, and we're ready. And how do you become someone that's quick to listen? You're here with the intent to hear what God has to say to you. That's what you want. When you open God's word in the morning, and maybe you left it and you forgot it. Why? Because you weren't listening. You were religiously, physically present in your chair with your Bible open, but you weren't listening and quick to listen at all. Well, I didn't take a shower yet, and I hadn't had my coffee, so I wasn't fully there. Well, then do that. Listen. And that's what James is saying. If you want a pure and undefiled religious faith, be someone who is quick, ready, wanting, eager, swift to hear what God has to say to you. Warren Wiersbe explains, when he says, quick to hear, it's first knowing that the word of God cannot work in our lives unless we receive it the right way. As God has allowed some of us over this past year to serve in the role of elder of the church, I can tell you one of the big concerns of us as the elders is that we're not producing religious people. We want everyone's faith to be real. We don't want you to be robbed of what God has for you. We want you to know the joy, the blessing of what it means to live a real, relevant, vital walk with God. The struggle is you have us men who are still struggling to learn that too. But realize, in order for God to do any beginning work, we have to be people who want to listen. Who want to listen. He says, not only be quick to hear, but he says, slow to speak. When he says slow to speak, that means to not be hasty. Proverbs has a lot of passages in regards to the perils of being too hasty in your speech. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips come to ruin. He says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise, in Proverbs 17:28. And Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. It's hard to be a good listener and someone who always wants to talk. Are you slow to speak? Are you willing to listen to what God has to say and not necessarily have to give a response? We live in our culture that, we don't like dead air, in conversations or anything. It's like when it's silent for a moment, we feel awkward. And we feel like we have to fill that time by saying something. When many, it's just good just to let what's said to be digested, considered, thought over before you respond. And James was like, you know, if you want the word of God to do a work in your life, be slow in speaking what you have to say. Just listen. Listen what God wants you to know about him, about how to live, about what he wants you to do and who you are in him. Listen. And many times the best way to respond is to pray. That's where you should be quick to speak. Because it may be, God, forgive me. When you're confronted by reading God's word with sin, that's when because you're quick to hear, you're letting God's word speak to you regarding just the sin in your life, and be quick to say, God, forgive me. But most often our response needs to be, God, help me. I can't. I don't know how. But be slow to speak and wanting to give your side. Say, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's right. That seems so unfair. You know, do you argue with God when you're reading his word? Or in your mind, are you arguing with me in what I'm saying from God's word? Nah, I don't believe it. Then you're not listening. Don't think of a response. God doesn't want your response. He wants you to know, listen, and understand. So be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And if you're quick to listen or quick to hear and slow to speak, you will be slow to anger. You won't get upset. You won't get mad. That's so unfair. You want all my life, don't you? Yes. We can argue a lot, and we can get angry. And notice what he says. He says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God in your life. When he talks about the righteousness of God, he's not talking about you being saved. He's talking about producing righteousness, the sanctification that God's word brings to us when we take in his word. We're not going to allow God's word to produce righteous living in our life if we're too busy being angry at God, too busy giving our point of view to God rather than just listening to him. Some of you may need to ask God's help because you are someone who gets angry easily. You need to pray, God, help me with that. That's not a good thing. Pray that God would give you self-control, because it doesn't only just come out between you and other people. That probably comes out between you and God. And when it talks about this anger, it means to have a persistent harboring of feeling of resentment. God, that's just so wrong. So wrong. Can't believe you're asking that. Can't believe I have to do that. And you're just letting it continue to eat you up. Is that you? Or do you listen? Consider. Pray. What God speaks to you about. If your desire is to have a faith, a walk with Christ that is real, that is vital, that is growing, you need to have this attitude about receiving his word. Allow God to speak. Many times when you read in the Bible about people who are confronted with God, many of them don't speak. You know, Isaiah was like, I'm dead. That's the point to the point that I'm not going to speak. Just kill me. I don't want to say another word. You know, John in Revelation, he was just like, he just fell. Why? Because they saw the glory of God and they realized, I have nothing to say. I'm standing before you. Who am I to argue with you? When you're arguing with God, you don't see God that way. You don't see him as someone that's glorious, that's great, that is majestic. No, you're looking down upon him and saying, I think you're wrong. That's someone that's quick to speak and quick to anger. Someone who's looking down at God, not worshiping him. So you need to be someone who's quick to listen, who's slow to speak, who's slow to anger. Someone who's also confessing and repenting of sin. Because he says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. You need to be confessing to God. That's why we give you time before we do our scripture reading, just to come before him. And maybe you need to God, forgive me. What I said this morning, what I did yesterday, what my life has been like this week. Help me, just forgive me and help me, Lord, to repent from those things so that as I come and being confronted with your word now, God, that I can receive your word. And I have broken down this wall of sin that I have built over the week because this sin is blocking from me being able to see you. This wall that I've built is blocking from me being able to hear your voice. God, help me, forgive me, break down this wall so now that I can hear you speak into my life. We need to do that. And say, God, forgive me. And notice what he says is you're putting it away, you're setting it aside, you're getting rid of it. And it's in this tense in the Greek, it's in the past tense, that means you're done with it. You're putting it aside. You're not continuing to carry it. It's not something I put it here, but I'm going to carry it along with me. No, you're letting go. You're wanting to get rid of it out of your life. You know, if you have garbage duty at the house, you don't like to say, hey, I'm just going to carry the garbage with me all day long. I just enjoy carrying the garbage. It stinks, I know, but I want it with me. No, well, you're quick to get it outside, put it in the bin, and close it and run. Understand, that's how God views our sin. And we're carrying that bag, and it stinks. We know it stinks, but I'm going to carry it. James says, get rid of that. He says, put away all filthiness, all that ugly, putrefying, disgusting sin. And he says, and rampant wickedness. That word rampant in the New American Standard is abundant. It means we have a lot of ugly stuff in our life. You need to realize that. Before a holy God, there's a lot of ugly things in here. And we need to continually be people who are confessing and repenting of the ugliness that God reveals about our heart and life. And when God reveals to you that this is a sin, you're not saying, oh, okay, well, I'm going to continue to carry it. No, he says, put it aside. And he says, and rampant wickedness. How are you going to be able to grow and have a faith that is growing, that is vital, that is relevant, if you're continuing to hold on to something that is holding you back? So realize that. He says, set aside all that filthiness. And then he says, you know, that we need to be confessing and we need to be repenting. But we need to be people who are humble before God. Or as he uses the word meekness here. And that word for humility or meekness means to not being overly impressed by a sense of your own self-importance. You know, before a holy God, we're nothing, okay? Remember that. But even amongst other people, they'll say, well, I'm a better Christian than so-and-so. I'm a better... No, we're just, you know, I am someone who continues to struggle in my walk with God. That's why when someone comes to you and says, you know what, I've committed this sin, we don't look down and self-righteously and say, you dirty person, get away from me. You may not have engaged in the same sin, but you know the sin of your own life. And you just say, I'm sorry that you made those choices, but I've made poor choices also. And we come alongside, and that's how in Galatians chapter 6, that's how we can come alongside a brother in their sin. It's hard to come alongside to someone on your brother when you're standing on top of them. pounding them because of the sinfulness of their life. You come alongside them and you help them so that they don't continue in that sin. But you do it with gentleness, you do it with meekness, you do it in love. Why? Because we're sinners. We struggle. And James and 1 John, if you said you didn't sin this week, guess what? You're a liar and you sinned again. You sin this week. And that's why we need humility when we receive the word of God and say, God, speak into my life. And this word for you, humility, is the opposite of being angry. Rather than standing firm and saying, this is what I believe is right, you're like, God, I'm nothing before you. You know, we're in a culture that where people want to stand for so many different things, right? On the news yesterday, hope I don't offend anyone, but I'll try. But there was a march at our state capitol yesterday. It was the march, get this one, for science. The march for science. Science is important. And we're going to march because we want policies that are based on science. And that's what I'm passionate about. Okay. I have no idea why. I don't understand. I was like, I'd go one other meeting just to see what it was like. And after they wake me up, I can leave. But like, we're passionate about science. I was like, okay. But our culture, we love to say what we're passionate about. What we're for this, we're for this, we're for this. And we're quick to be angry. What we see as injustice, but what we are, what our culture, what we have developed, what our society has developed, we don't have people who are willing to listen because we're so indignant, we're so vigilant in our anger. What we will shout over people if we don't agree what they are, what they're going to say. We don't want anyone to hear what they have to say. And it's like, even if you're having a conversation with someone who may have a different belief than you, be humble. Don't be self-righteous. Listen, hear. Remember, a good listener. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Yes, it applies to the word of God, but it is a great principle of how to relate to people. But be humble. And when God's word is being spoken, are you humble? One commentator says, there's no one ever found one English word to translate the word, the Greek word we have here for humility and meekness. But one concept he says is that really gets to the heart of what James is talking about is you have a teachable spirit. He says, be humble enough so that you can learn. The only way that you truly learn is you realize I need to learn. Rather than, I don't need to learn anymore. Some of you probably did that. Oh, James chapter 2, I heard a sermon on that 40 years ago. I don't need to hear it again. And some of you, and understand, some of you, when you're going through your Bible reading, you can read the book of the Bible again. I mean, I already read Colossians. It was about 5 years ago. Maybe you need to go back. It's okay. You know, be humble enough to know that God continued to speak to you through Colossians. And he, because the word of God is alive and he can continue to speak into your life. And I read it once. I don't need to take that class over again. No, we continue to need God to work it out. That's being humble, being teachable. We'll never get to point two or three today, so. Must be this cup. And I had my little water bottle, I was able to get to it, but something in that drink, buddy. But not only do we need to be humble, we need to be welcoming of God's word. Because he says receive, and that word receive, it means you welcome it. You want it to come. You know, there are guests that you like having to come over to your house. And there are guests that, you know, aren't always the ones you like to come over to your house. And sometimes when you say, so-and-so's coming, yay, all right, cool, they're coming. So-and-so's coming. Oh, really? How long do they get to stay? Do I need to be here the whole time? Can I stay in my room? You know, and Vanessa says, it's your parents. I said, oh, no, just kidding. Mom and Dad aren't Facebook. Okay, so it's okay. But is that God's word to you? Do you want it to come into your heart and life? When you know that the word of God's being opened, you're like, oh, great. I can't wait. I don't care how long he stays. I don't care how long he talks. I just want to be here and listen. If you have that attitude this morning, we can keep going. But we're not. But do you welcome God's word into your life? Are you saying, yes, come in? Or you just, you know, just stay there at the door and we'll talk. You know, God, just stay on the outside. But I'm not welcoming you into my life. I don't want you. And I'm acting like I do, but I really don't. Yeah, okay, I'll go through the motions. Come on in, have a seat. Here's a meal. Okay, I'll sit, let you talk. Oh, it's getting late, God. Aren't you tired? No, are you, when God's word is open, are you like, God, I've been waiting for you. I look forward to you coming. I look forward to your visits with me. There's a gospel song back in the 80s, an artist I enjoyed listening to, Larnell Harris. Oh, wow, one person, amen. He has a song called I Miss My Time With You. And I heard that in my early walk with God, and it is just a convicting time when you hear what that song says. Because it's God speaking to you. I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I used to be with you each day. Remember how we would say that you loved me. You know, and it's like, do you count it as precious? Do you count this time when we're with God's people to worship him as precious? And you're welcoming his word. Your heart's like, God, the door's open. Come on in. Bring it with you. And what? Because when I open and I welcome you and I welcome you with humility, what? Then your word is implanted in my soul. Because he says, notice that. And receive with humility or with meekness the implanted word. God wants to plant his word in your life. Just like the parable of the sower and the seeds where what? The seed that was received because the heart was fertile soil, the seed was able to be implanted into that heart and bring forth fruit. But is your heart fertile soil? Have you prepared the ground of your heart so that when God's word is being proclaimed, that your heart is ready to receive it and welcome it and want it so that it can have its effect on your life? Or is it still hard? Is it still like the road where when the seed landed there, what? It didn't penetrate. What? The devil came and took it. Forgot it. That could be you and your son when you read when you're in God's word. Sometimes you're reading it and you weren't really there and you close it. What? The devil took it away and it's not going to affect the way that you live for him. Or is it because it landed in rocky soil where, you know what, it's not getting deep in you. You allow it to have, you know what, you know, like, some of you, you know, in the past, you know, after maybe Rod or I or any of us have been able to share from God's word, you know, we get, well, great message, and we thank you for that, and we appreciate that. But really, you don't need to thank us. It's God speaking. We're just here, okay? But you may have thanked us for the sermon, but then you leave and you forgot what the sermon was. Not that because anything we say is memorable and should have impacted your life, but the fact that the word of God was preached, that's why it should be memorable and impact your life. Okay? It's not about the person up here preaching, it's the fact that the word of God is being preached. And the rocky soil is that where you get excited, wow, that was a great sermon, but you didn't allow it to really, you were more quick to speak and saying, wow, that was a great sermon, rather than continuing to listen to the sermon in your heart and in your mind to allow it to dig deep into your soul. Or maybe your heart is that where you're filled with worldliness and you're more considered about other things and your mind is not fully engaged with God. Your heart's not fully in love with God. So when the word of God comes, it's just one of a bunch of mess in there. Because it's just cluttered with other things of life that you consider just as valuable or even more valuable than your love for the Lord. It's not gonna take root there. But when the word of God, when your heart and your mind is ready, because you want to receive it, because you know you need it, and you desire for God to transform your life because of its presence, the word of God coming into you, you're welcoming it, you want it, you want it to develop something, you want to become like his son, and you're ready to do whatever God's word has to say, and you're quick to listen, you want to hear it, that's when God's word will impact each one of our lives. Is that you? Is that me? Do I possess these attitudes? Because notice, he says, you know, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And he's not talking about salvation because he's already talking to Christians. He's talking about just saving you from living life where you are wandering carelessly in this world, pursuing things that are meaningless, desiring things that are worthless, living for things that are temporary. You're wasting your life. You're wasting how God can use your life for his glory. We're only here. I know for some it seems like, man, I've been alive forever. But realize our time is short on this earth. How are you allowing God to use the time of your life to impact the people that he has around you for his glory? And, you know, next time we get to go in James, we'll look at further on and understand that pure and undefiled religion requires the proper response now. Now that we've received it, how do we respond to it? And James gives us that. You can read on in James. You don't have to wait till the next time. Just read James on your own and study it and let God work in your heart and life and help you to be convicted about how you need to respond to his word. Because God doesn't want just a cold, indifferent, stale, meaningless Christian life for you. He wants a life for you that in John chapter 10, Jesus, he says, I want you to have an abundant life. And that's not abundant with the worldly possessions. It's abundant with him and his grace and his blessings upon us. Do you want that? Have you been just going through the motions of it all? You know, you've been here, but you're not really here. You're religiously, physically present. But you're not here because you don't really want to welcome the word of God into your life. That's you this morning, and you profess to be a believer. Be concerned. Be concerned. Be concerned. Because if you don't want to become like Jesus, then why do you say you're a Jesus follower? Makes no sense. I want to follow you as you follow me. This is how we usually live our life, right? I'll follow you until it gets uncomfortable, then I'll go my own way. I'll follow you until it becomes inconvenient, then I'll go my own way. I'll follow you to the point that it doesn't require that much of me. No, you can't live the Christian life that way. That's what Rod's been preaching as we've been going through Luke, that we would be willing to die, deny, and then follow. Because you won't follow until you die and deny to yourself. You still see yourself as important, you'll never follow Christ. The word of God is what God has provided for us. so that we can be engaged with him daily, regularly with him, so that he can speak to us and so that we can know how to respond to him in how we live our life. Are you welcoming his word into your life? And if you don't, you're like, well, I don't know how to do that. Come and talk to one of us, the elders, ministry leaders. We would love to help you. Even if you have questions regarding a book of the Bible that you're reading, if you have questions, email, text, call, and say, you know, what does this mean? And, you know, we can sort of guide you through that. You know, not that we're experts at it all, but we'll, you know, we'll study, we'll figure it out together. But our desire is that you would allow the Word of God to have an impact in your life for God's glory. If that's your desire to bring glory to God, then you need to be in the Word of God. And you need to ask God to give you the Spirit of God to obey it, to respond to it, and we'll look at that next time. But believer, this is a precious gift, a wonderful gift. And you know, there are some who tend to fall asleep, you know. And there are times when that may happen, but if that's a regular thing, you know, it's like you're awake during the singing, but as soon as Rod comes up, you're like, okay, and you spread out, you find the right pew where you know you got the right comfortable length and stuff, and you got that ready. Again, you're not, don't fool yourself into thinking that, well, I went to church. And God's like, no, you know. I know some, there's reasons, but if that's just because you may have to check your heart. It's just an unwillingness to want God to speak to you. You know, do that in relationships with people. Every time they come over, you sleep while they're talking. See how long that relationship lasts. Doesn't last long, does it? You know, God wants you to hear him. God wants to speak to you. Are you willing to receive his word into your life so that he can do a work in your life, so that God can use your life, so that God can gain glory from your life? May you welcome him into your life. Let's pray. Help us, God, we pray. Something so easy, it can be so hard. Who would think that opening a book would be such a challenge? Who could think that maybe hearing a sermon from your book can be such a challenge? But the devil does that. He makes it something that is, we have to work at it, discipline ourselves. So God, help us in that pursuit so that we may be able to have a pure and undefiled religious faith. A religious life. That God, that the life that we live for your glory is something that we enjoy, delight in, revel in, not something we tolerate. God, may the outworkings of our life be what come from what you're doing inside of our life, because we have allowed your word to be welcomed and implanted into our heart so that it can bring forth fruit that will save our souls. Help us, God. Help us to be those who are quick to listen. Help us to be regularly confessing and repenting of our sin. God, help us to be eager to want to receive and to welcome your word. And God, give us humility to help us to realize we need to learn and know what you have to say to us. Our desire is that you would use Grace Bible Church to accomplish great things for your glory. But that's not going to be accomplished separate from being in your word and allowing your Holy Spirit to transform us because of it and through it. So help us, God. Help us to be people of your word, loving it, enjoying it, and growing in it. We pray this in your Son's name.